our conduct is important. This morning, I want to define fellowship for you. I'm not going to get out my Greek that I don't know. I'm not going to read to you what Vines has to say. I'm just going to, I want to give you just a little Willy Newcomb definition of what fellowship is. This is my definition. Fellowship is loving God's family. If you leave today without understanding that, I failed. It's a very simple message. Fellowship is loving God's family. I believe that there are various levels of fellowship, just as there's various degrees of relationship. You know, you might have a casual relationship with somebody at work, or you might have a good friend at work, or you might have a casual relationship with somebody in the church, or you might have a very good relationship, or somewhere in between. But I believe that each of us is somewhere on that scale of fellowship in the church. Well, I think the first level, and this is just my words, taken from Ephesians chapter 2, I think the first level of fellowship is membership. Now that's a word that makes us a little nervous in the brethren movement, but I believe the first level is membership. And what that means is it's choosing to belong. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." So if you are a believer, today you are a member of God's family. And if you're here today, and if you're committed to this fellowship, you are a member of this local body. But the problem with fellowship, and maybe I shouldn't use the word problem, is the reality of the situation is being here doesn't mean that you are a member. It doesn't mean that you are a part of this fellowship. See, fellowship is not just two fellows in one ship. Fellowship is not just being in a geographic location on a particular time, a particular day of the week. We are, as believers, members of God's household, but it's a matter of attitude. Do you choose to belong? Membership is choosing to belong. Positionally, you are a member of God's household. But do you choose to be a member of the household of God? Do you choose to be involved in the life of the church that you attend? You know, the prodigal son is an excellent example of an individual who chose not to be an active member of his family. He basically said, "Give me my share. I want to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. And there's nothing that you are going to do or say that's going to interfere with what I want to do." And in principle, that's absolutely true, whether you leave like the prodigal son or whether you stay. You see, there's some people here, maybe I shouldn't say this, that probably could say, turn to somebody in the church here today and say, "I'm glad to be here, even though you're here." Now, we would never say that, would we? But it illustrates where our heart can be sometimes, although we are here geographically. You know, we went to visit my daughter and son-in-law, and who live in, where do they live? Geneva. Geneva, Switzerland. He plays basketball there. And anyway, we went to a Bible study with them one evening, and one of the girls was, they had got a new player on the team, and one of the girls happened to be from Texas there. And so Eric said that they got a new player, and he was from Texas, and she all immediately came alive. Texas. You heard that word, Texas. And that's one thing I learned about Texans is that Texans love Texans when they're not in Texas. There's a camaraderie. I don't know what it is about Texans, but there's a camaraderie. If you're from Texas and you're not in Texas, you're something special. Well, that's kind of like being a member of the household of Texas. Well, we are members of the household of God. Another verse, 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, we are all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one spirit to drink. Verse 12 talks about the body is a unit. We're all in this together. God has individually saved us and placed us where we are. And I believe it's his heart's desire that we be active. Active members, which is choosing to belong. If you're in whatever local church you're in, I believe it's God's desire that you belong to that membership. You belong to those people, that you're investing your life in them. God has placed us here. In Romans 12:5, it says, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You know, our choice, the choices that we make determine our destination. I've said that before. And it may seem a little bit trite, but it is so absolutely true. Each member belongs to all the others. You know, we can intellectually agree with that. But I believe, and I know it's been true in my life, I'm not pointing my finger at you and saying I've arrived. But sometimes our life is not consistent to the fact that we belong to all the others. You know, I saw this in as we visited my daughter and son-in-law. My son-in-law is the leading scorer in Switzerland. He's a top scorer. Their team is in ninth place, and there's only 12 teams. So you kind of get a perspective of where they're at. You see? And so, Eric can go out there and shoot 38 points, and their team can lose. And you want to know something? I mean, I'd be happy with 38 points, wouldn't you? I mean, I'd be tickled pink. But you know when they come out of that locker room? The whole team is down in the dumps. There may be individuals who performed well, but as a team, they lost. That is what belonging is all about. As we belong to the household of God and are committed to it, we make that choice, you see, it's like that team. Eric may have had the high score of his entire life, but if the team loses, it seems like every one of those guys, as they come out of the locker room, after the game is over, is down the dumps. They lost. Why? Because they belong to the team. And the team lost. Back in Acts, it said that all the believers had everything in common. And I've extended, at least in my thinking, it extends out not just to the disbursement of their personal, their physical goods, but it's all these other aspects, prayer, teaching, breaking bread, and fellowship. As they have those things in common, they had a very dynamic church. I mean, people were getting saved by the thousands. One of the reasons, I believe, is because the people saw a dynamic group of individuals. Can't that be for us today? I better move on. Loving God's family is choosing to belong to God's family. What is fellowship? It's loving God's family. Being a member of that family is loving God's family, is choosing to belong. The next level is friendship, which is choosing to share. It's one thing to belong, but it's quite a different thing to share our lives with one another. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." That's not terribly comfortable, especially if you're the one getting sharpened. But it's absolutely true. You know, in the context of the church, and in context of the family of God, we need to share our experiences. I need to learn from you, and you need to learn from me. I have experienced things that you have not. And you have experienced things, you have insights that I don't have. Another aspect, in 1 Peter 4:9 it says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. We need to share our homes. I would venture to say that you could get any two family units here and get them together in one of their homes and they were going to have a more enjoyable time than they do here after this meeting on Sunday morning. You have time to sit around and talk and get to know one another. I don't think it's an accident that Peter says that we need to be sharing our homes. We need to open our homes with hospitality. Here's a little more uncomfortable area. Galatians chapter 2. Excuse me. Chapter 6, verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. We need to share our problems with one another. Absolutely. I think it's just so terribly valuable. Let me give you an example. There was a guy that worked in a different department there in Gregory's a number of years ago, and he lost his wife to cancer. She was a young woman. She was about 40, 41. And he was about the same age. And I went to the funeral. And somehow the Lord touched my heart. I didn't really know him that well. We were sitting there in the pews and the family walked in and I looked at Brian and I've never seen a man in so much pain as he walked in that day. My heart went out to him and I decided that I wanted somehow to reach out to him. But what do you do? I had no way of relating to this man. My wife had never struggled with a terminal illness. I didn't know anyone really who had ever struggled with a terminal illness. I've never had anyone die that was close to me or even remotely close to me. What was I going to do? But I decided I was going to try to reach out to him. And so I decided that we would just go out to eat for lunch once a week, every week. And that's one thing I can do well, is eat. And I knew he ate. And after his wife died, he spent a lot more time in restaurants. But anyway, for the past 6 years, almost every week, we go out and eat lunch together. And you know what? I don't know if I've done anything for him, if I've been of any encouragement to him, but after 6 years, I have a fellow that I consider a very good friend. A very good friend. I chose, and he chose, to share. Over these past 6 years, we've shared our lives together. He talks about his struggles. I can talk about my struggles. I've given him so much advice that he has never listened to. I don't think he's ever listened to anything I've told him. But we have a very good friendship. And of course, I listened to all his advice, but, it's just so terribly important that we choose to share our lives with one another. Loving God's family is choosing to share our lives with them. It's just an integral part. If we're not willing to open up, to make ourselves slightly vulnerable, how can we really have any fellowship with them? It's just pretty near impossible on a practical level. Third level, partnership. Choosing to do my part. First level, membership. Second level, friendship. The third aspect or level of fellowship, I believe, is partnership. Choosing to do my part. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Now, many years ago, when I lived in Denver, I worked for the Power and Light Company. I drove a truck for them. And I spent a lot of time in these housing developments. And it was very intriguing. These tract homes, you know, they had a crew who put the foundation in. They had a crew who put the subfloor on. They had a crew who framed it. They had a crew who shingled it. They had a crew who set the windows, outside doors, and siding. And it's just, they had it all lined out. And I don't know what all the different crews they had, but one thing that was totally obvious is that each person was doing their part. These houses, they turn out, took about 30 days to build a house from start to finish. And the way they were working, they turned out about a house a day in this one development that I spent a lot of time in. They turned out a complete house every day. How could they do that? Because they had all these people working together. Ephesians 4:16. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. As each part does its work. You know, a tract home in the light of eternity is worthless. The life of the believer is eternally valuable. Eternally valuable. And as we each choose to do our part, I believe that we are blessed and the recipient is blessed. Many years ago, I worked in a factory and you were paid a certain wage per hour to do so many pieces. And any time you did over the quota, you got paid per piece. So my job there was to punch holes. And I punched 4 holes in a plate. And then it went to the next guy. Now, there might have been slightly different varying sizes of plates, but my job, the only thing I did was punch holes in sheets of metal. 4 per sheet. And you know what? This piecework thing sounded really great. Because, whoa, if I want to work, you know, I'll get my quota done and I can make big bucks because I can punch holes like a madman. But you know, the guy cutting the plates has got to be there. See, on a good day, I could punch 6,000 holes. If the material was there. If the guy was just doing his quota, I could only punch 4,000. This guy was robbing me. Because he wasn't interested in doing more. He did not choose to do his part. You want to know something? When I choose not to do my part in the body of Christ, I am robbing you of spiritual blessing. When you choose not to do your part, you're robbing me. Think of this young couple here. I remember when he was, when we first came here, he was a squalling baby. About the age of my youngest son, Jonathan. Turned out to be pretty good buddies. Matter of fact, I heard he's going to be in your wedding. And every married couple here knows this. If you choose not to do your part as a husband, you're going to be the loser. And your wife is going to be the loser. Why would that be any different? Why would that be any different in the household of God? As you choose to partnership with other believers, each to do his part in the body of Christ, that is what fellowship is all about. That is what I believe honors and glorifies the Lord. I've always had an interest in building things, and recently I was looking into how Romans build their buildings. You know, it's always intriguing to me how with such unsophisticated tools and machinery, how these Romans could build such beautiful buildings. I mean, some of these stones they put in buildings were tons. One block of stone could be 2 or 3, 4 or 5 tons. It was very intriguing to me how they could do that. It is very interesting how they had hand human-powered cranes to lift these blocks. How they would quarry this stone with wedges. They would make a groove in the stone and drive wedges in. And we split that out. And it was just, it's just incredible what they could do. But from the quarry to the finished product, there was a tremendous process of teamwork. Tremendous process of people doing their job. They operated these cranes. They built these big cages, you know, like these big hamster cage. You know how you see these hamsters running around, you know, around and around and around and around in these hamster cages? This is one of the things that powered their cranes. They would build these big cages and they would have people running on the inside that ran these cranes. It's incredible how much they could lift with all the blocks and the tackles, and we won't go into all the dynamics of that, but it's just to me it's fascinating how with the right orchestration of the talents and efforts of a large group of people, what you can get done. It's just incredible. And I believe that that is true today in the life of the church. As we choose to partnership ourselves. The fourth area, and let me say this before I go to the fourth area, is that I believe that each one of these levels builds upon another. For example, you won't choose to share your life if you don't choose to belong. You won't choose to do your part if you don't feel a part of the family of God. If you don't feel like that you are an active, necessary member of the family of God. And I think that we can slip back and forth into these levels. I don't think that once you've achieved level number one, you go to level number two and you never slip back to level number one. I believe in the course of life that we're always in a state of flux. We do better at times, we do worse at times. The way life is. The fourth level is kinship. Now, if Treva was here, but she is not, I worked with her for many years. I gave her a lot of hassle about kinfolk. She swears that she was born in Wichita, but I kept telling her she had to be born in Arkansas. You know, but there's something really neat about kinfolk, isn't there? A closeness in the life of a family. And I believe that that's what we need to see in the life of the church. Okay, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." Relationships cost us something. We ought to lay down our lives for others. Relationships cost us something. John chapter 13 verse 35. "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." We sing that song. If you love one another. You know, when believers are loving one another, it's a dynamic testimony to the world. That was true back in Acts chapter 2. Something exciting was happening. And the world knew about it. It can be true for us today. In Hutchinson, Kansas. I mean, this is nowhere USA. But as believers, we can have a dynamic fellowship. As we choose to belong, to share, to be a part, partnership with other believers. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. It says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves." I grew up as a Catholic, and I was saved when I was 22. And I understand the theological differences between the Catholic Church and Protestantism. But I'll say one thing for the Catholic Church, is they knew about devotion. Their life, a good Catholic, based their life on devotion to God. We Protestants, I think, the pendulum swings the other direction. We base our life on theology. This is what the Bible says. That's not bad. But this verse says what? We need to be devoted. This is not a theological statement per se. It does not end there. It says be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Without you choosing to be a part of the family of God, loving your brother and sister as if they were your brother and sister, you are not being devoted to them in brotherly love. We're all guilty of not doing this. There's no one here, absolutely no one here, that's not guilty of falling short of being devoted to one another and brotherly love. You know, I think that concept is kind of foreign to us. Not too long ago, I don't know, this dates me a little bit, but George Burns said that for over 50 years that he called or talked to Jack Benny almost every day. Think about that. Two unsaved individuals called or saw or talked to one another almost every day for 50 years. That was a startling fact to me. That smacks of a commitment. That smacks of a relationship that I do not believe exists too much in the world today, in the church today. And this verse speaks to my heart also. Fellowship is loving God's family as we love our own family. That doesn't mean we need to be hugging and kissing each other. You know, I love my brother, but I don't think I ever kissed him. But you know, we need to be devoted to one another as if they were our family. That's what fellowship is all about. It's choosing to belong, it's choosing to share, it's choosing to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. We need to be a family. You want to know something? I need you in the context of my life in the world, the life of the church. And the irony of the situation is that you need me. You need Willie Newcomb. God does have a sense of humor, doesn't he? Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, these verses are challenging to each and every one of us. Lord, we know that fellowship of the believer is very important to you. And yet, Lord, we fall far short. Lord, we just pray that these verses would be an encouragement to us. I pray, Lord, that we would go remembering that fellowship is loving your family. We just commit that concept, that principle, and let it become more and more a part of our lives. In Christ's name, amen. Remember, fellowship is loving God's family. Thank you.